studio. I'm a nanny.
Möglichkeitsräumen, wie sie zum Beispiel Theater dann darstellen. In diesem Sinne verabschiedet sich jetzt am Mikrofon Felicia Herrscher.
Never found me yet. This one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never found me yet. Never found me yet. Jesus' blood never found me yet. This one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never found me yet. Never found me yet. Jesus' blood never found me yet. This one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never found me yet. Never found me yet. Jesus' blood never found me yet. This one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never found me yet. Never found me yet. Jesus' blood never found me yet. This one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never found me yet. Never found me yet. Jesus' blood never found me yet. This one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never found me yet. Never found me yet. Jesus' blood never found me yet. This one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never found me yet. Never found me yet. Jesus' blood never found me yet. This one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never found me yet. Never found me yet. Blood never found me yet. This one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never found me yet.
Ja, Mikrofon Felicia Herrschaft, hier im Hintergrund Gavin Bryars. Und wir hören jetzt erst das Interview mit Jan Ritzema als Reaktion auf die Performance von den Urbanities zum Ende des TAT. Das A wurde thematisiert. Und dann folgt das Interview mit Louise Neri, der Kuratorin des TAT.
I can imagine that when you close a thing like this, that you think a little bit better about why you close it,
and what
happened, and that this is a sign for something.
Don't
make a school party, some cabaret about it.
In seeing how they came to the A, I think it's kind of making it senseless or meaningless.
I thought the whole evening was senseless.
What?
I thought the whole evening was senseless.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I understood that this was an important theater venue, and it's closed now.
Yeah.
So you can close things, but when you don't want it to be closed, then and you protest in a certain way against it, then you should use better arguments.
Yeah.
Or you should think about it why you close it, and maybe we can have an important discussion about it or something. But this is... when I would be the people that are responsible for the closing, I would be happy with this this funeral. It's a happy funeral.
Happy funeral, because here's some event on it.
Yeah, so everybody agrees on that it's
closed. Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, maybe.
It seems.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Frankfurt is dead.
Yeah. But then they should have to put an O between the teeth and say das Tod. Not das Tod or the A.
They should not play at all with these make these word games.
But Elisabeth Schwager, she said today it's a new chance.
Elisabeth Schwager is a hypocrite. She is what new, everything is of course a new chance, but when a very beautiful building or a very beautiful idea is killed destructively, then that idea is destructive. And when you say that everything is a nice chance, the extermination of the Jews is a nice beginning too, isn't it? So I don't see this. I think it's a very false statement.
Yeah.
When you live in a time, then everything is possible. Then you don't make. Then you don't select.
So
there are things to be defended for, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think when she has children, she defends her children. Or when one dies, she doesn't say this is a new chance.
She said this.
She said this, but when it would be her child, she would not say this.
Yeah.
I guess. So there are distinctions. So why do you make then these remarks? Just for nothing?
Yeah.
Like this performance for nothing?
Yeah. Yes, there's
it makes me very angry. It's a lost world. It seems that there's nothing to defend.
Yes, this
alles ist ein neuer Anfang.
They think that this kind of aesthetization gives us new chances for
what
for
kind
people.
Of aesthetization?
It is, having this coming around and...
But you don't need to... That is a warlike thinking. That's what you have to say to her. Destructive. Going to Iraq and destruct something, and that's a new anfang. But you can also build something without destructing.
Yeah.
And that's the bad thought. But maybe it's a very German thought.
Yeah, they didn't think on what is negation. they didn't use the term negation.
It's a very very männliche Gedanke, um von to start with that destruction is needed for creation. I think this time we should have behind us.
Yeah,
and especially Germany.
Yeah, but if they talk on processes and things like that and creation, isn't it something new? If they
are what do you mean now?
If they are interested in what is a process or what is a kind of
a process can go without destruction or not?
Yeah,
you can build something out of something else and then build something and so on.
Yeah,
of course processes are possible. There are processes possible without destruction.
Yeah.
So you don't need to celebrate the culture of destruction, and that's where we are living in. If you think that your theater is a counterculture or wants to be a little bit of counterculture, then you should not think in the way the dominant culture is thinking.
Yeah. Okay. In the way they, I had the idea that they that it is senseless because
what is senseless?
Senseless in the way that it has no meaning because they tried to get onto the stage as and they.
What has no meaning?
No, keine Bedeutung. Sie
was hat keine Bedeutung?
Sie haben mit Signifikanten gearbeitet, ohne die bedeutungslos gewesen sind, wie zum Beispiel das A zu thematisieren und klar, dabei haben sie sich versucht, auf der Bühne neu zu situieren.
Ja, und wer sind Sie nun?
Die Gruppe. Ich spreche über die Gruppe. Die Gruppe, auf dem, die hier diese Aufführung gemacht hat, haben meiner Meinung nach sich selbst situiert als Gruppe auf der Bühne. Das war der Prozess, den Sie dargestellt haben.
Nein, Sie haben sich so organisiert, dass Sie eine Vorstellung machen könnten.
Ja. Und das haben Sie thematisiert. Deshalb meine ich senseless.
Sie haben ein Thema gemacht, dass jeder etwas zu tun und zu sagen hat, und das ist alles.
Ja. Das ist senseless. That's what I mean. Senseless.
Everything. Nothing is senseless. Everything has a sense, but there are certain things that you should that you can do better.
Is it all the organization? What is going on in theater?
I don't know why you ask this. No, it's a lack of thinking, I think.
Yeah, a lack
of thinking.
Of thinking.
If you would think, when you close an institute like this,
and you
know, and Frau Schweger hat das auch noch bemerkt heute Nachmittag, that there is a closing of cultural institute. There is the idea. There is here in Germany the idea of closing of stopping with the Geisteswissenschaften and so weiter. Das ist etwas Ähnliches wie für Juden verboten.
Yeah.
Das ist etwas essentiell Kulturelles, das gestoppt wird. Da ist eine kulturelle drive behind, die nur mit einer Gegenkultur gestoppt werden kann.
Yeah.
Und nicht mit Spielerei oder so etwas.
Yeah.
Denke ich.
Was wäre dann die richtige Aktion gewesen?
Diese Diskussion, Bösigkeit oder so etwas. Ich komme nicht aus Frankfurt, aber also ich weiß nicht genau, was die Situation ist. Aber man kann darüber nachdenken, dass da eine Kultur sich puts itself closely in the saddle. And that's always how it goes. Left is lies above, and then right lies above. But you only have to all the time to struggle with each other and make clear and take position in order not to have one being dominant for too long time, because that's very bad.
Yeah.
Especially in these times.
Yeah. Wir haben ja in den letzten drei Monaten eigentlich nichts anderes versucht, als die Situation dieses Theaters zu thematisieren. Aber es macht den Eindruck, als wäre nicht wirklich ein Interesse da. Also, ob es jetzt noch da ist oder nicht.
Yeah, that's very bad.
But then,
auch von den Kulturproduzenten
then,
ist nicht das Interesse yeah, yeah, für yeah, okay. dies, sich zu engagieren.
Ja, ja, ja.
If they have their position, say just like
what?
If they have their position, say stay without resistance.
Yeah, apparently yes. There's no need to resist. Everybody thinks it can continue. But I know it's the same thing. There are principal things in your life which you have to defend. If you don't want to defend this, ist man einem Mitlaufer. Ich kann mich vorstellen, ich war nicht geboren damals, aber wenn in ein Café stünde für Juden verboten und ich bin durstig und es ist ein sonniges Tag wie heute und ich laufe mit ein paar Freunden und wir sagen, wir sind böse, ach, dieses Café auch schon für Juden verboten. Aber wir gehen hier rein. Und das ist die Kultur, worin wir leben, dass die rechte Hand nicht weiß, was die linke tut. Und dass wir unterschiedliche Aktionen, rechts tun wir etwas Gutes und links tun wir etwas Böses. Wir wissen beide, aber but we split it all the time. And what we have to do is to bring them together. We have to think about the things and say that, yes, I do right, I am thirsty, and I think it also dirty that it is for it's closed for Jews or for Arabs or whatever. Or culture has to be closed, or die Geisteswissenschaften sollen geschlossen werden. Das geht doch nicht. Die Gedanke schon, dass man darüber denkt, dass man die Geisteswissenschaften abbauen will, weil das keinen ökonomischen Nutz hat. Nicht nützlich ist, oder was, wie heißt das auf Deutsch?
Nutzen.
Das ist eine verrückte Sache.
Ja.
Das macht einen Aufstand notwendig.
Ja, aber es ist ja eigentlich, it happened a lot in the last 3 months, because we had this exhibition on the Auschwitz process here in Frankfurt, and there were a lot of discussions in the Schauspiel too. And we had this interviews with Micha Bumlik and Erno Fulon, but I see always that the art scene or the theater scene is not really interested in these to reflect on it, what it means, because if there is the same relation or not. Also sie haben es verweigert, es einzubeziehen in ihre Reflexion, dass da ein Buch ist oder etwas, das jetzt neu zur Rezeption und Diskussion steht. Welche Veränderungen, wenn es eine Dokumentation gibt über einen Prozess, der überhaupt erst eine Diskussion über Auschwitz in Deutschland in Gang gebracht hat. Und das
vielleicht muss ich mich nicht so böse machen, wenn the profession itself wants to leave the whole thing and doesn't want to defend it, then maybe it should go. That's not what I know. But I'm not living here. When I would live here, then I would say.
So you should come to Frankfurt. Maybe this would be an interesting thing if you would work here. Then you would have more resistance.
So you can work on many places in the world. So.
This is what Forsyth said.
What?
This is what Forsyth was meant to do.
To work in many places of the world.
Yeah, and not here. This is what you told him to go, because he can work in many places in this world.
Yeah.
Why should he work here?
That's also a sign that they kick him out.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Wo bleibt das Echo? Wir sagten, wer tat das? Die Antwort, mein Freund, bläst dir ins Gesicht. Die Antwort, mein Freund, ins Gesicht.
Blood.
man wäre versucht zu glauben, dieses Gebilde hätte früher irgendeine zweckmäßige Form gehabt und jetzt sei es nur noch zerbrochen. Dies scheint aber nicht der Fall zu sein. Wenigstens findet sich kein Anzeichen dafür. Nirgends sind Ansätze oder Bruchstellen zu sehen, die auf etwas derartiges hinweisen würden. Das Ganze erscheint zwar sinnlos, aber in seiner Art abgeschlossen. Näheres lässt sich übrigens nicht darüber sagen, da Odradek außerordentlich beweglich und nicht zu fangen ist. Es klingt etwa so wie das Rascheln in gefallenen Blättern. Damit ist die Unterhaltung meist zu Ende. Übrigens sind selbst diese Antworten nicht immer zu erhalten. Oft ist er lange stumm wie das Holz, das er zu sein scheint. Zu diesem Zweck hat sie die Filmindustrie, meint Benjamin, einen gewaltsamen physischen, publizistischen Apparat in Bewegung gesetzt. Die Rezeption in der Zerstreuung, die sich mit wachsendem Nachdruck auf allen Gebieten der Kunst bewerkbar macht, und das Symptom von tiefgreifenden Veränderungen der Apperzeption ist, hat am Film ihr eigentliches Übungsinstrument. In seiner Schockwirkung kommt der Film dieser Rezeptionsform entgegen. So erweist er sich auch von hier aus als der derzeitig wichtigste Gegenstand jener Lehre von der Wahrnehmung, die bei den Griechen Ästhetik hieß. Die Menschheit, die einst bei Homer ein Schauobjekt für die olympischen Götter war, ist es nun für sich selbst geworden. Ihre Selbstentfremdung hat jenen Grad erreicht, der sie ihre eigene Vernichtung als ästhetischen Genuss ersten Ranges erleben lässt. So steht es um die Ästhetisierung der Politik, welche der Faschismus betreibt. Der Kommunismus antwortet ihm mit der Politisierung der Kunst. Was das Theater im Kern politisch macht, wie das Politische im Theater sich manifestiert, versucht Hans-Dietz Lehmann darüber zu beschreiben, indem er sagt, Kunst, Theater artikuliert eine Unterbrechung und Grenze des Politischen, ohne es in irgendeiner bestimmten Negation zu löschen. Diese These ließe sich dann in der folgenden Weise erläutern. Es ist die Möglichkeit des Theaters, jene Gewissheiten, die die Ordnung einer Polis stützen, in eine unheimliche Suspension zu bringen, ohne sie deshalb im Sinne einer Gegenthesis zu verneinen und so ihre Art des Meinens auch in der Verneinung noch indirekt zu bestätigen. Theater stürzt und stützt die Ordnung nicht. Es lässt sie trüb und schütter erscheinen, auch wo keine bessere dagegen steht. In Sicht kommt, fantasiert wird Der Bürger Sophokles war vielmehr stolz auf die moderne Ordnung der athenischen Polis. Die erschütterte Ordnung ist aber, zumal die Ordnung, die als Schütter gewusst oder doch erfahren wird, als Schütter und zu erschüttern, auch als prima vista unpolitische Praxis fungiert Theater auf diese ihm eigentümliche Weise politisch. Jetzt Louise Neri.
Yeah, Louise. Now after, I think, 1 year here in Frankfurt.
5 months, really.
5 months, really. And the tat came really to an end yesterday. The question is really what did you experience over these times working here in Frankfurt with your position, maybe, and your perspective? Yeah.
Well, I think one of the interesting things, I think the first Gemeinschaft theory that Florian Malzacher organized was called Too Late. And I didn't speak at it because I don't speak German. And it's very difficult to, I mean, I also realized my own shortcomings not speaking the language. But the comment I was going to make was that as an outsider, when you're a guest worker, you're either too early or too late, meaning you perceive a situation maybe in its metaphorical dimensions rather than its real dimensions. And too late meaning that people like me, because I'm someone who has worked in a lot of different foreign situations, but the time is very unrealistic because, and this I think is a larger question for guest curators, when you're from outside a context, how you need to be informed about a context before you come into it. Perhaps if you know too much, it inhibits you. If you don't know enough, you can make some very blind decisions sometimes. So I think you're, as a guest worker, you're always treading this double line, as I said, between being too early and too late.
Mm-hmm.
Having ideas that perhaps can be very good ideas but actually require a very different time frame to be implemented because they're ideas that require a lot of tuning.
Mm-hmm.
You have ideas that in a way are a test site and you need to be able to gather the appropriate personnel together to make that test site actually function, like a department of a university or the way perhaps a Kunsthalle or a museum can work, or a theatre situation like Tom Stromberg had with the Tat in its very vibrant period, or the Musenturm under Christina Peters, who worked with that program for a decade.
Yeah.
Was constantly tuning, experimenting, working with her audience, working with her program, and gradually building it over a long period of time.
Yeah.
I think with the situation of guest workers, there are very unrealistic expectations placed on the situation that somehow you can bring a fresh knowledge or a fresh perspective that can be immediately implemented. And I think that it's the preparation time that is always underestimated, because these things require a lot of preparation in terms of determining who the players are, you know, the local players, who the international players are, how you can actually orchestrate those relations between the foreigners and the locals, how you can actually articulate ideas over time, how you can build audiences, because I think one of the obvious situations with the Tat is that it's been, although the name has remained, the institution as an autonomous entity really ceased 5 years ago. Because it was basically being taken under the wing of William Forsyth. It was taken under the jurisdiction of the ballet. But then it becomes an auxiliary function or an adjunct of an artist, you know, who has a very specific program. And I think the Tat was vibrant in as much as it was an experiment of Bill's. And I think he conducted some absolutely fascinating experiments there. But that's very distinct from the Tat functioning as a theatre entity. For example, the intentionality of Tom Stromberg would be, from my observation, would be extremely different to the intentionality of Bill Forsyth. Purposes are totally different. And so when we were speaking earlier today and very briefly about what my observation would be about the continuation of the Tat or the utilization of the Bockenheimer Depot as a cultural space, let's say, not the continuation of the Tat, but it would really be, it can only continue if there's the real articulated desire to continue. And that has to be a strategy of how to continue and how to rethink the resources in the city as a really vibrant public debate, not just a discussion among the members of the State of Shabuna or the officials of the city, but a really highly articulated debate between the various existing cultural players and a new generation of cultural players in the city. Because I think it's extraordinary that Frankfurt, as a relatively small city, has enjoyed such a vibrant cultural activity in the visual arts, in obviously the university culture, which is very powerful, in terms of music, in terms of theatre, and obviously in terms of theatre. If you compare it to a city like Milan, for example, I've spoken to various students, I'm talking about students who've come from many other countries to study in Frankfurt. And it's because the resources that are present in Frankfurt are completely absent in cities that are much larger in scale. You know, larger metropolises do not have the cultural resources that Frankfurt has as a city of about 600,000 people. But against that, I think the city, we're living a very different reality now. I mean, we're living in very different economic conditions. People have less money to operate on. So when we think about waning audiences, the fact that the Musenturm, the Tat, many organizations, with the exception of the State of Shabuna, probably because of the amount of money that's spent on publicity and audience generation and also the continuity that exists in an organization like the State of Shabuna, and the fact that specialist audiences can perhaps be encouraged to pick up on other cultural activities. There's a sitting audience, a cultivated audience, that will go to, the Bukovina Social Club and the opera and the State of Shabuna Theatre. It's a huge constituency of people who are used to using that utility. The Tat, I think, has had a very ill-defined community over the last 5 years. People no longer know what it really is. The Tat will be filled for the Ballet Frankfurt, because the Ballet Frankfurt has developed its own extremely dedicated audience over 20 years. But it's become very obvious that that is not the case for that audience may not necessarily support new dance. There's somehow a missing link between the sophisticated, you know, the sort of very sophisticated appreciation of the Ballet Frankfurt and how that could open into cutting edge dance from different parts of the world. I mean, I know there's also from the Musenturm has a problem with audience. Always, it always struggles to maintain its audience. And the question is, in a moment of economic collapse, how much available cash do people have to spend on cultural recreation? In Frankfurt, you can go to a performance every single night of the week. Can a student population afford to spend €8 every single night of the week? If you talk to students, they say no, they can't.
Yeah.
You know, so people obviously really prioritize what they do or do not go and see. And how are they introduced? You know, obviously, you know, it seems to me that the better publicized things are, the more people go to them. We had, in some cases, very positive newspaper coverage and newspaper, you know, press anticipation of events that we staged, but that didn't necessarily ensure or correlate with audience attendance. But just as an observation, I guess, you know, in a situation of economic retraction, rather than hope that that the audience shows up, maybe it's really our responsibility, or the responsibility of the players in the city, the cultural players in the city, to really communicate with each other about this issue of how to maintain audience, to really how to collaborate rather than how to act autonomously. I mean, I think it's very interesting in a city like Paris, but given that Paris is a metropolis, it's a much, much bigger city than... No, I'm not talking about Palais de Tokyo. I mean, Palais de Tokyo has not been a great success. I'm talking about the theatre scene in Paris. I think the Festival d'Automne, from my observation, is a mechanism, a festival mechanism, that actually really revitalised the theatre-going, the performance-going audience in Paris, in that because the Festival d'Automne drew in many off institutions like Ménagerie de Verre or Laboratoire d'Aubervilliers, I mean, many small sort of more avant-garde organized at the Théâtre de Bastille, by drawing these institutions into the scope of the Festival d'Automne, they were able to build on the sort of festival fever that Parisians get into. And so once someone has been to the Ménagerie de Verre, you know, which is a very, very small theatre with about, you know, 60 or 70 seats, once they actually enter that place and have a good experience, then they will suddenly become interested in keeping up with, you know, with that situation. You also have the situation in a city like Paris with the Centre Beaubourg, for example, where the creation of new performance spaces in the Centre Beaubourg, because they have a massive audience. So it's simply a matter of re-articulating that audience to also participate in theatrical and performance activities. Same thing, I mean, you know, they have a fairly progressive program at the Centre Beaubourg, which is, I mean, predominantly a visual arts institution, but the performances are all sold out. I mean, the performances consist mainly of new music and new choreography. So, you know, that's another model of, you know, creating crossover audiences. Yeah. But again, there's a real will involved in doing that.
which kind of
a communication, I think, between institutions. Maybe it's just a matter of the changing of the guard of certain individuals who express the desire to work together. But I, you know, I would say that I heard that several years ago, when the Tut was taken under the wing of the ballet, that there were discussions about how, for example, the Musenturm and the Tut could collaborate. It seems to me that it's a pity that that never happened, because the Tut obviously can provide conditions and space that the Musenturm can't. And similarly, the Musenturm has rehearsal studios and apartments and all kinds of resources that the Tut does not have. So, you know, I think this is reality. This is about how people can actually combine resources and rationalize resources. It's an exercise in democratic thinking. But maybe that's something that prosperity actually destroyed, was the ability for people to think together. Because in a way, institutions were set up in a very fat period, economically fat period. We know from experience that that breeds autonomy and individualism.
Yeah.
And competitiveness, which is, you know, can be a very positive aspect in an economically healthy climate, but then suddenly when there's not enough to go around, where does it leave all of these autonomous institutions struggling to attract the same people who have very limited resources to go around?
Yeah.
And it strikes me that a city like Frankfurt, that has so many incredibly, you know, I mean, vibrant cultural producers, it has relations, you know, sort of active, extremely active relations between academic institutions and the real world. You know, the fact that many institutions in Frankfurt perform, you know, for example, public institutions have a certain kind of commitment to academic institutions to create interfaces between students and public situations. You know, that's not the case elsewhere in other parts of the world. It simply isn't. There's incredible segregation. You know, university is something that university or art school are in these other parts of the world, even in France or England, it has very little currency in the professional world.
And what do you see should change?
Well, really active conversation between, for example, it interests me that the MMK, for example, under Udo Kittelmann, I mean, he's obviously working very actively to promote new kinds of activities in the museum. I mean, the museum has taken an extremely performative turn, you know, with the Warhol project and with, you know, I mean, there are many things that he's done where performance is taking a very active role, and yet there's very little communication between the museums and the performing institutions.
Mm-hmm. But I think he tries to collaborate with the Schauspiel in a way, because he's new in the city and he's making his...
Yes, no. I'm full of admiration for Udo and how he works, full of admiration, but it's not even a public debate. I mean, I think it would be very fascinating to see those discussions between disciplinary institutions, perhaps as a public debate, so people really can understand what's going on. That it's not just a sudden manifestation of one individual director's will over a situation, that it's actually a praxis that is going on in these various institutions, a sort of praxis of communication between disciplines.
And what do you think should be a chance for a city, or if there's something
to constantly to never be complacent about its relationship to its institutions. I mean, for example, you know, okay, the city have closed down the Tut. Why haven't they closed down the Decorative Arts Museum? You know, there's never anyone in it. I mean, I've been to the Decorative Arts Museum many times. I think I've been one of four people there because it's a very dead institution with a fairly poor collection. I mean, if they were really having to justify that institution on box office, they couldn't. We'd probably have more people in the Tut in this season than would go through the Decorative Arts Museum in a year. Although, you know, our public would not, or would probably not have been considered to be that successful. Mm-hmm. You know, the interesting thing about the Tut, for example, is that, or the Bockenheimer Depot, it's a very large place. Mm-hmm. You know, there are 250 seats, which in a relatively small city, to be an institution without the publicity mechanisms and the machinery of a Städtische Bühne administration, it's unrealistic to think that the Tut could just fill seats based on the quality of its program. Because you need a lot of help to raise public awareness. It's not enough even to have a supportive press, because in fact we've had a relatively supportive press.
And relation to performances, where would you say can theaters and the arts scene here in Frankfurt maybe more collaborate? Do you think there's a need for it?
I think it may be an artificial desire, because they're very different disciplines and they require very different conditions.
Yeah.
There are definitely crossovers. There would definitely be a way of, I mean, in the Tut, for example, in the program this year, a lot of visual artists showed their work. I mean, you know, visual artists who really work more in performative field, I mean, meaning in film and documentation and certain kinds of interactions with performative interactions with people.
Yeah.
But that in itself is a full-time job, to build that kind of visual arts program in a theatre.
Yeah.
And because you're also limited in certain ways as to what you can develop and show. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, that's something I think it's a very interesting challenge for the Bockenheimer Depot, in the way that Bill reconceived it as both a social space and a professional performance space. But I think it was a very brave and radical move to create a situation which was open to the public several days a week. Mm. However, I think it also revealed a lot of incompatibilities between the fact that people want to be relaxed in space, you know, people who come in with their children to play or whatever. Artists need very controlled conditions in which to make their work. The two things are not always, it's not always a matter of tolerance. It's actually about the conditions that are required to produce the work, or to rehearse the work, or to develop the work. Because, you know, in a sense, I mean, the stage is the, you know, the rehearsal stage is the performance studio. I think it'd be very difficult for artists to make their work in public, in a zoo situation. And in a certain way, that's what we were asking performers to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was certainly an interesting experiment, but I think my colleagues at the Tut were more experienced than I was. They'd already lived through the previous season, and I think they were actually very aware of the levels of incompatibility that could occur. And also the fact that, you know, I think the people using the Tut, the sort of parents and children, were fairly oblivious to the sort of privilege of using that space.
Mm-hmm. And you as a...
The children, no, I think the children were completely thrilled, but, you know, children children operate according to their desires, you know, according to their drives.
Yeah. Good. But you, as a curator, what would you say? What is the need of what were your role as a curator to protect and bring up processes? Because if you look at curator networks like Utopia Station and all these things, and the reflexivity is something that which is something which is compared to what the curator do in relation to make things. What do you think? Do you rethink now your position as a curator because of this experience in a way?
Certainly. I mean, I think that I've certainly learned that it's very important to listen more and to maybe begin the process with many, many more questions rather than assuming certain knowledge about how to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that was a unique situation. It was a very unusual situation. There were very few precedents for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one of the things that was certainly lacking simply because of time and resources was a greater level of articulation of what was actually going on. Maybe we didn't even understand ourselves what was going on. Or I shouldn't say we. I didn't understand myself what was going on, because we were talking earlier about the relationship between philosophy and praxis, and you can map something out on paper as much as you like. You can create a perfect system, but once you release it into social space, it becomes something completely other. And I think you need a lot of experience to anticipate how all of those elements might come together.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a lot of expertise around you to preempt problems as well.
Mm-hmm.
You need a very proactive situation, not a wait-and-see situation.
Yeah. And how do you think maybe there were conflicts and those things? How would you say, did you learn something to deal now in a different way with conflicts? Which happened if you create something, but maybe always, but was it something special?
Yeah, I learned something about...
For yourself.
Yeah, that I'd have to study much more closely, like the true functionings of democratic process and whether it's really possible in a creative situation. How do you create a certain level of equality among, you know, within a team? And at the same time, how do you shape something?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also very difficult working with strangers. You know, because there are a lot of assumptions, you know, be brought in as an outsider into a group that where you don't necessarily choose each other. And I'm speaking also for them as well as me. It's not a criticism of my colleagues. It's just a recognition that perhaps they recognized before I did, because they're very used to having people brought in to work with them, whereas I'm the one who's always being brought in to work with other people. So you immediately assume a certain kind of role because it's assumed that I have the knowledge or the idea to the sort of engineering idea for the entire structure.
Yeah, I think if I use the term outsider, I mean in a way, this similar construction of that the outsider is, because of his perspective, more an insider, because he can really reflect on what is going on in the people, and yeah, the insiders in a way are not in that way able to do that. Do you think this is something
That's true, but then...
Korea has to be aware of to work with this position, because Korea is coming very open to new places.
I think it's a huge...
It's kind of knowledge.
I think it's a huge illusion, which... Because curators, as I said, are guest workers. We work often under the worst conditions. Because we're brought in, we're sort of sprinters. You know, we're brought into situations assuming that we have the preparation and the training to work very, very fast. And often you come into situations that are possibly damaged or full of preconceptions that you may not recognize immediately.
Yeah.
Hostilities.
Yeah.
You might simply, you know, in my case, I'm not a German speaker. You know, that's a huge setback in many ways. Although, you know, Frankfurt is an extremely international environment. So perhaps there's a, you know, there's a lot to be, I mean, it interests me just in my knowledge of, you know, a number of recent projects, you know, like, I mean, future projects around the world, that I think a number of organizations are really acknowledging the problems that are starting to occur between foreigners and local environments. They're actually starting to insist on the foreigners integrating themselves into the working environment in terms of moving to a city well in advance, so that one is really on site to prepare and to gather information and to be present, to really be present. And I think that's a very good criterion. I think it's extremely important.
And you said in a discussion that you were brought in because because the situation were collapsed in a way. And it was,
well, I didn't mean
bring you in to work.
No, I think I said the situation had collapsed. I mean, meaning collapse in a positive way, but it was an experimental situation.
Yeah.
That it was a situation where the previous structure was no longer in place. The Tut as a central theatre for the European vanguard theatre scene with a large budget and production means and a sort of central position in the theatre production circuit was gone. So the question was how to what to do with a completely different conditions and the same space. How could the space be reinterpreted?
Yeah.
Das war nun das Gespräch mit Louise Neri, der Kuratorin des TAT in seiner letzten Spielzeit hier in Frankfurt. Und um dies nochmal einzuschätzen, warum kollektive Theaterformen problematisch sind, ist eigentlich eine Möglichkeit, eine neuere Debatte mit einzubeziehen, die anstatt Kollektivität eben nicht Gemeinschaftlichkeit, sondern Communality, eben Gemeinsamkeit thematisiert. In dem Versuch, eine normative Ordnung der Gesellschaft zu bestimmen, entspricht dies den Errungenschaften der Moderne, eben einen Vorstellungsraum geschaffen zu haben, der einer Landschaft oder einer Landkarte entsprechend ist und durch Messungen ermöglicht, die eben politische Öffentlichkeiten unabhängig von politischen Institutionen etablierte und demokratische Selbstverwaltung ermöglicht hat. Dies sind dann interkommunikative Aushandlungsprozesse demokratischer Selbstverwaltung innerhalb einer säkularisierten Zeitordnung. Und diese säkularisierten Zeitordnungen ermöglichen überhaupt erst eine Gesellschaft, die sich als Gemeinschaft dann erleben kann, aber eben in der Erfahrung von Gemeinsamkeit, in dem, wie politische Öffentlichkeit unter Bedingungen dann einer neuen öffentlichen Sphäre bestimmt wurde. Dies So Charles Taylor ist dann möglich durch die Etablierung einer profanen Zeit, die eben die hierarchische Ordnung einer erfahrbaren, normativ geteilten interkommunikativen Ordnung überhaupt gestaltet. Deshalb können Kommunikationsprozesse von Theatergruppen zu einer ästhetischen Form werden, weil Kommunikation nur unter den Bedingungen einer radikalen Communality möglich ist. In diesem Sinne sind eben Möglichkeits- und Imaginationsräume wichtig für die Frage danach, wie sich freie Gesellschaften weiterentwickeln können. Am 18.06., dem Geburtstag von Jürgen Habermas, der heute eben 75 Jahre alt geworden ist, ist es natürlich sehr spannend zu sehen, dass Kollektivität oder eben auch Communality, Gemeinsamkeit, möglich ist, auch in Theatergruppen eben zu bestimmen, indem wie man eben versucht, Kommunikationsprozesse zu messen in diesen Möglichkeitsräumen, wie sie zum Beispiel Theater dann darstellen. In diesem Sinne verabschiedet sich jetzt am Mikrofon Felicia Herrschaft.